Welcome everyone to part two of Brendan Ensign's journey through IT leadership and culture.
Oh gosh, how do we get back on track? I don't even know where to begin now. We've hit on so many amazing things. I think, how have you made the right decisions? I think part of what's going to help other people is how you make decisions, because all of our lives are formed based on making correct decisions. And I know this is an IT show and this is an IT leadership show, but I want to help other people in IT not hate life. And I think if you go on Reddit and you look in the sysadmin forum or you look at something like this, you're going to find a lot of people that hate life that may have loved technology. That was just like, I'm out. I hate this. Like, my company makes me do this, this, and this. I have to know all these different things. Broadcom just blah, blah. Now we've got to change this. This is lame. This is horrible. And I think what it comes down to is making good decisions. And I feel like you may have made good decisions in life, or purposeful decisions. And maybe that's not what people in IT know how to do. I don't know.
It's a little more simpler than it's starting with the foundational operating procedure. I'm assuming everybody that's listening to your show has got some level of nerdiness in them. And so we can talk about, you know, like an operating system or a base code or the BIOS or whatever. So I start with a few concepts of leadership, and it's really, there's two spheres that we have in front of us, and it's area of concern, which is everything. And then we have another sphere that's smaller, which is what we can influence on that concern. And it's really a smaller sphere, because really we can't change what's going, we can't change the weather. We can't change the economical outcome of the world. We can't change who's, you know, what's going on in the news, but we can have some sort of...
As an IT director, we can't, but I think with technology, I think clearly that stuff is being affected, but because obviously they're using social engineering to screw with us a lot, but...
It can be a hell of a deal when, you know, you work for an organization and we already have an idea of what we want to do and how we're going to get there. And then the organization doesn't support the entire vision. And so basically it's gaining that vision of, okay, well, I can't do that. So it's off the table. So let me work on what I can do and work within that framework and then make good decisions based on that.
Can you give me an example?
It's been a minute since I've worked for Pacific Corp. So I want to think about here where I'm at now. I don't have an example because I've been given the responsibility. I've been given the trust with no budget. So if it's needs
like
to happen.
Dream. It's like the dream job.
Well, it's interesting because we do like a peer review group with other companies to see what we spend in different divisions. Mm-hmm. And Gartner says some crazy number, like in construction, you should be spending 2% of your revenue on, you know, for your IT budget or whatever. And I'm less than half than that, and with an unlimited budget on my spend. Mm-hmm. So, but for the things that we don't have, if we stay within that sphere of influence and work within what we can do and not focus on what we can't do, it's easier to become happier sooner. Because I've worked with so many guys in IT, and we trip that one thing, like, man, this is just one more thing. I'm like, man, to think is to create. You just created that one more thing. Now you're mad because you've decided that if that happens, then that. And you wrote that code, it happened, and now you're there, in effect, not working to cause, not making change, not, you know, miserable. Mm-hmm. I think it's really simple. So when you say, you know, how do you make good choices? Well, it's first get out of that miserable mindset and work for that positive, and then good decisions follow. Maybe I'm just talking nonsense.
No, I just thinking you're in a good position where you have essentially an unlimited budget, which is probably not true. There is a limit, but you know, you have enough money to do what you want to do, and you're in an organization that's employee owned. So you're in a soap and sock type of, you know, management where, you know, like, well, I don't like, if I screw up, I care that I screw up because I'm affecting the other people. Whereas not if I screw up, I'm afraid to screw up because I can already tell based on body language and this conversation that you would be concerned about screwing up because you'd feel like you'd be letting down your fellow man, not because, you know, I've got some rating over me or I can't disappoint the upper management. You know, it's not like maybe I respect them, maybe I don't. The fact that that's even a factor shouldn't come into play, right? So I think everyone would love to be in the position that you're in, but they're not, right? So it's kind of a hard, like, I just want to say, God bless you. I don't want everyone to be like, you know, I think everyone would want to be in that position, but not everyone has that, you know, they're not afforded that.
Okay. Well, I was at Berkshire, right? Or I was at a previous employer. And I was looking to save money because at this employer, I paid a utility bill that I worked for the utility company that I paid the bill to. And I was like, well, how can I reduce cost and save money so that maybe I can make a difference, you know? And so VMware just came out with vSAN. And 2 years later, I was like, hey, if I could do vSAN on Cisco UCS and I do it this way, we won't need EMC storage. We'll have this all worked out. I pulled all the numbers. I put down the maintenance numbers because EMC was like, if you had EMC over 3 years, they had the maintenance down to where like that fourth year was so expensive, it was cheaper to buy a new storage array.
Yep.
And with vSAN, all that went out the window. And so I had it down first year. We're going to save $3 million. And I was like, I went through all the meetings. I brought on my own. And I was I'm doing this great thing and it's going to be amazing. Uh-huh. And then EMC brought in like, this like executive sales team. And it was almost like some
the suits
HBO sitcom. And it wasn't suits. It was undescribably like, I'm like watching an episode on HBO of some sort of sales tactic. And it was,
I know it well.
It was rated R, if not rated something worse of what I saw come through. Like, oh, this is going to turn into a rated R movie because of what's going to happen behind these closed doors. Two women. And next thing I know, I'm on the bench. Brandon, you're just here to maintain things. Don't go creating, you know, you're here to maintain operating environment. And I was like, whoa, you know, okay. And I'm like,
there so we go. 80-20
we're staying with EMC. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I was like crushed and I thought, well, what can I do? You know, what are my options? And I'm like, okay, well, I can make this system better. And I did. And I can do this. And I did. And then they're like, okay, we're going to host Exchange. I'm like, yeah, you're going to
virtual. Okay. So who was it? Okay. What was your option again? What was your option again? A VMware thing or something?
Yeah. A vSAN.
Okay. So why didn't you just call them up and say, hey, look, here's what we got going on here. Okay. Look, executive team just came in. Can you send that team in for me, please? You know, don't you?
You know, and then the joke was EMC later bought VMware. And I was like, well, you know, maybe it'll all work out. So
I've had that happen. I've had someone lose business to somebody else and through the grapevine with another very close friend of mine say, yeah, I was speaking with the president the other day. Because we all have this, like, once you get to the top, everything gets smaller. People don't realize that. But once you get to a certain level in your career, everybody knows everybody and everyone kind of knows what's going on. And there's this like kind of like jockeying for like different things. And I'm a big proponent of, you know, anyone can kind of like scrape and claw their way and sleep around their way to the top, which kind of sounds like a similar example right now.
Dude.
And anyone can do that, but only character and integrity will keep you there. In the long run, all the smoke will clear.
It did. And it always does. And it's almost
so if you
like
don't have a leadership team that understands that, if you don't have, and the reason why I said I'm going to really love this call at the beginning is because you have a very good pulse on the industry. You have a very good understanding of, well, that maybe Gartner Magic Quadrant is a pay-to-play model and only a snapshot in time and not really like the most realistic data that you could grab your hands on for your own particular industry for numerous different reasons, like you just mentioned.
There is
peoples, there's mice bees peoples in the industry that actually do know what's going on. And you're one of the hardest jobs for IT leadership is to effect or convince executive management to get the seat at the executive roundtable, so to speak, that can make that argument in a way that is.
It's sales. Yeah, my job is sales.
Yeah. Sales is not the Wolf of Wall Street. To make full circle, it is not that. It is filling a need. It's filling a need. It's actually finding the right product mix or whatever that will that it is good for your unique company and your unique group of end users to create the digital transformation to then make us the most cutthroat capitalistic winners in the industry so that we can then split it amongst our employee owned companies. And if you get in my way, I'm going to hit you with a bar of soap, guy.
You better be the right player.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime. We're fighting for the right reason, but at least we're fighting the good fight. You got to fight the good fight.
That was a hard thing, right? As I was there, I was like, wow, I'm never going to, because I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not going to.
No, you're not. I had it happen one time and I had that group come in.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I had it happen on a very big deal. That company is now called Cisco. That company bought another company. Uh-huh. So in other words, the company at the time wasn't Cisco. They're now Cisco. It was a purchase. It was a very large purchase for like $4.5 billion. Well, maybe that's large. I don't know if that's large anymore, but anyways, it happened. And we had a very large, oh gosh, it's so scummy. It's so typical. Oh. I was consulting on a very large international video conferencing play, along with getting around the Chinese firewall. How are we going to remove these old VPN plays and get around the Chinese firewall so that when Chinese Congress goes into play that, you know, everything doesn't get shut down. It was a huge thing. Uh-huh. And when the losing, kind of similar to what you said right here, except it went the other way. I'm happy it did. When they found out they're about to lose, it was like, yeah, we're going to come in with the executive team on like this day. And yours sounds a lot more, yours was a little bit more of a, I don't know, desire convincing sale, which has happened. I've heard crazy things, but this came in. And what they tried to do here is big league the VP. They tried to big league the VP and they're like, you know, well, I thought you were the one that was like, I guess I thought you were the decision maker. I guess I was wrong. That's what they said. That was the end of the meeting that they said. And he said, you know what? You can pretty much go F yourself and you guys can go take everything here and you can walk out of the, go flip yourself and take your team and get the hell out of my room and everything. And I was like, and he called me and he told me what happened. And I was like, that was the right choice, man. Like, that's the right choice because the solution is the right solution. The right solution won. But it's crazy the stories I've heard. If I could write a book on the stories I've heard, if I could write a story, I remember like one time we had like a series that was like one of the Tiger Woods girls was like working in our like at our organization. It was like all over the company email. And it was like, you know, I was like, can we really talk about it? Where's HR? Like, what's going on? You know?
Oh my gosh, dude.
I've had it all. I've seen the craziest stuff. We couldn't even make a movie out of it.
The ERP that I'm using right now, I told, they're like, you need to come to our cloud. I'm like, well, your product's not written to run in the cloud. I'm not going to put it on your server so I can RDP into my app.
Brandon, we understand. Do you have time on Friday afternoon at 3:00? We want to bring in the team.
Yeah. So basically they're like, it's cost more, $60,000 more a year and you need to run on our cloud. I'm like, no, unless you can show me where the benefit is of running on your cloud. So I talked to my executive team and I laid it out for them. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. We need to go to the market and look for a new ERP. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we agree. And so I told her, I'm like, look, we're not moving to the cloud right now. In fact, we'll run the clock out and we're just going to go to market and figure this out for ourselves. So what does she do? She calls up the CFO. Hey, your director doesn't know anything he's talking about. You know, I offered him a good deal and the cloud's secure and the cloud's better. And I'm like, dude, it's literally a site-to-site VPN into my services, and I have to run the app through RDSH. How is this more secure and better. And it's cost $60,000. And yeah, she calls the CFO and he's like, no, I'm, and so she didn't like that. So she called the CEO. All that did was get traction and motivation for going to market for a new ERP. They're like, yeah, we don't want to do business with them. So,
which is awesome when you have a company that runs on ethical values and is
doesn't bring in the HBO special, you know. So
no, isn't that great? And yeah. here's the conundrum. Like you said, you are in sales. So you have to explain that simple VPN thing to them, to someone that's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you, like, how do you do that?
Oh, I just basically say a VPN is like running a really long Ethernet cable from our network to their network. Very specific things that we can talk to on their network from our network.
And it can break pretty easily and be on.
Oh, yeah.
And if, yeah, if their network's screwed up and their employees, like said example of person, does what they do, that says a lot about their security policies too. And what else could happen?
Well, what else was really damning was I had a support call with them 6 months prior, and it was offshore support, same place that you probably were helping that call center out in. And they were sharing their screen, and they were in two other construction companies' ERP systems and had the accounting information pulled up.
Yeah.
And they were looking at, you know, they were thinking that one of those was ours. And I'm like, no, we're on-prem.
And no, but thanks for their info.
Yeah, thanks. I'm like, and you're literally in their system. You're in the back-end database. You're getting ready to make changes for us on their system. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to your cloud. I'm like,
I am very convinced that one of the biggest weak points in security is other people's is your vendors.
No, absolutely. They're like, well, how do we up our game on recurring revenue? Bubbles. It's called the cloud. let's sell them the cloud. You know, we'll run it over here on our 10-year-old infrastructure and we'll resell it to them and they're going to want to pay us double.
Oh my gosh. You just reminded me of so many things. I remember back in the day, there was a company called iCore.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, but it sounds great.
So no,
I'm on board. iCore listeners, it starts with an I. Let's get after a little bit of that.
I hope they don't love all y'all. I love all my old iCore people. I love you guys. I love you guys. But I sat in on a presentation one time, and I was like,
"Yeah,"
because you know how we take like a sales presentation will pick one thing, and they'll drive home that one thing. And I remember they're like, it was a hosted voice play before, right at the cusp where ISPs were starting to design their networks for quality of service. Okay. Mm-hmm. Before that, when everyone hated VoIP, like VoIP was like, no, man, like, no, get out of my face, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a hosted VoIP. So hosted PBX. That's what it should be called, right? It should have been called voice over IP. No. Not on the presentation. We are not voice over IP.
What?
We are not voice over IP. We are VoP. We're VoP. We're voice over. We're voice over PI. I loved it. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, right? They're like, no, we're voice over PI. We're voice over private internet. We're not voice over IP. We're voice over private internet, which was their like selling the enterprise, like back in like, I mean, like the enterprise, like Star Trek Enterprise. I mean, Star Trek. I don't mean enterprise, like enterprise, yeah, enterprise companies. I mean like Star Trek Enterprise. Yeah. This was their way of selling taking a weakness and making it into a selling it like it's like this big thing, you know? So what do salespeople do when they have a weakness or they have a hole in their product? We got to sell around it. We're not voice over IP. We're voice over PI. We're voice over private internet. Your internet packets will not touch the public internet until it's hit our data center. Okay. Meaning everyone has to buy a private point to point T1 back to our data center or our crap doesn't work.
Which means it's single threaded.
Meaning if that T1 ever goes down, which then is also bottlenecked, it's bottlenecked. You've got a point-to-point T1 between them and their data center, or you can't make calls. Every time you make an extension dial to John, who's sitting right next to me, I've got to go all the way down the street to whatever. Yeah. Come all the way back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're voice over PI. And let me tell you the benefits of that, Mr. Customer. It's very secure.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Fast forward to 2024, you know what they do is be like, oh, there's AI in there.
Oh.
AI. Voice over AI.
What did someone say that?
No, but I'm just saying that's the buzzword right now. If it doesn't have a little AI mixed in it, it's not selling. So let's figure out AI, you know, and it's an automated process. Well, that's AI. Oh,
no, really? You don't even look, you don't even need to talk anymore. You don't even need to talk. We already know what you're thinking. So I know all of my telecom friends very, very well, and I know the industry very well. But AI is all over. Yeah, no, obviously. What's interesting is like you don't even need salespeople anymore. You just need AI. Like we're gonna come sell you that. We're gonna sell you we're gonna sell you virtual salespeople. No, keep fire all those guys. You're good. Sales are just gonna come. They're just gonna roll in. Yep. Just gonna roll in.
Yeah. Yep.
All those I'm not even real. I'm actually AI. I'm Phil AI. that whole however we got connected, we're not even connected on LinkedIn. I sent you a connection, by the way. Whoever reached out to you, was it Adam or was it Darren? Yeah, they're AI. They're not even real. Just so you know, they're not even real. No, they're real people. Darren and Adam, and I don't know how we're talking, but they're all real. I actually could speak with you for hours. I think we should do a multiple part series. We didn't even get to
Sure.
We did not even scratch the surface. Did not even scratch the surface of like, I'm so all IT people out there. If you do not know what we're talking about, if you do not understand the politics of technology landscape, you're pretty much just like, you're still keeping the blinky lights on. Really, you are. You really are. That's the truth. And if you're not willing to admit that that your C-levels could be convinced by a team of women in short skirts to come in, you need to be prepared for that. So sad. So the moral of the story is if you can pick an employee-owned company. That's really cool. I'm happy for you. I want to say congratulations on your working environment. Pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
Hard work, though. It's easier. It's called the hard easy. You do the hard work up front, so it's easier. Because they don't give me the authority. Oh, yeah, you're the director of IT. Okay, well, I'm making these policies. Well, good luck enforcing those. You got to convince everybody.
Yeah.
It's all leadership driven. Because now back at the old corporate enterprise, you've got the badge, you got the gun.
And it's real IT work. It's the thing is like what you have to do is what everyone else should be doing.
Yeah.
If you want what you have to do in an employee owned business is how everyone else should be running IT. So if you want to, let's say you do have the badge, you do have the authority, do you have the power to say, this is our security policy and you're going to do it. Otherwise you're going to know and you're going to fail your email phishing test and it's in the company policy. So you got to follow it. And then, you know, we're going to send Sarah from HR is going to be talking to you.
Yeah.
And she just failed the email phishing thing. But if you actually ran that organization the way that you have to run your organization, people are going to love you because you're actually going to do IT right, which is give people tools that they want to use that they actually would have chosen if they worked in an organization that was an employee owned. So maybe the title of the show should be run your IT department as if it was an employee owned business. That, you know what the title of this show is? The title of the show is, which is one of the hardest things to do in any business, which is get people to take ownership.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that one thing, one of the directors that I had, he said, give the service to your coworkers if they had an ability to pick someone else to get their service from. So they would always come back to you to get more service. And if you give them bad customer service, and they're even though they're your coworker and they're the only one they can shop, that could change someday. And they choose option B, well, you don't have a job. So
if they want Taco Tuesday, you better have tacos on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I like Taco Tuesday.
It's
is it Tuesday? It's not. Taco 2nd of May should be there. It has been an absolute pleasure. I don't know if you have any advice for people out there listening. I've really had a lot of fun. I think you just need to jump back on my calendar and we're going to do part two. We'll maybe break this up into two parts. And if you actually send me a message with things that you think are very important that people need to hear or what we could talk about, that would be really cool too. I could talk, we didn't even touch, there's so many areas that we haven't touched on. More old technology. What was the first LAN party you had? I don't know. Did you ever play Heroes Quest? I've there's a lot. Did I spark any fond memories there?
We used to have LAN parties. I remember the day. We used to host them. It was fun.
My first job over $10 an hour. I'm going to let you have the last word, but I do have to tell you the very first job that I had that was over $10 an hour. Was yours AOL? Was that the first job over $10?
Yeah.
Okay. So my first job over, are you in Utah?
Utah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you remember Quest Communications?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Remember Joe Nacio? Joe Nacio was the president of Quest. He was one of the guys that climbed to the top and then got thrown in jail for fraud.
Okay.
So he was
one of my AOL buddies went to work for Quest and then it became CenturyLink. So
look up Joe Nacio in Quest. There was he went to jail. He was a telecom guy that went to jail. And I worked for Quest at the time. And it was the first job that I left dropping wings at Jim's Wings. I got a job at Quest Communications. I worked my way up from the bottom, but it was analog cell phone replacement. And then it was nights and weekends minutes. And I went over my minutes and I've got a $500 bill and I'm calling screaming at you. And I talked people off the cliff. And then they eventually moved me to Quest Premier, which was anyone that had 50 cell phones or more. So these construction companies that had multiple cell phones. It was great because we got five calls a day. We sat in a call center. There was an OC-12 coming into this place. Keep in mind, at a time when you only had dial-up.
Yeah.
So we're like, what do we do with this? What do we do with this internet? We download games. We have a LAN party. So yeah, no firewall, nothing. You fully open to the internet, do whatever the heck you want. You know what I mean? It was whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. We would have a LAN party every day, me and the other five guys in there. We'd play a whole full game of Civilization. We'd start out at the beginning, whatever it was, barbarians back in time, and we'd end up with nuclear warfare.
Yep.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
That's crazy.
What's the end game? What's your deal? What's the advice you have? I don't know.
My advice is always be learning, always be growing. To remember to think is to create. So if we're out there and we're thinking I'm retiring in 5 years, well, that's dangerous. Hmm. That could change. Always begin with the end in mind. So I think
a true Stephen Covey from Utah saying,
yeah,
the end in mind, even though he ripped it off from somebody else, let's be honest.
Probably. I'm also a rapport master grad. So
Another thing I forgot about that I saw on your, a lot of times I ask people about certifications, and if you go to your certifications, it's not like CC55, whatever, it's leadership breakthrough. Master graduate rapport leadership, yeah. Building rapport.
That's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Really?
It's not for the faint of heart. So
why? Because you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
You learn what a jerk you are.
I had to pass myself too. So it's not one of those we get the instruction and then we can choose to use it at a later date. I mean, how many times have we been to some kind of class? And then, 6 months later, well, now I get to use this tool that I learned about, but it's been 6 months. I don't even know what I'm looking at. So rapport, we get the instruction and we get to do it and we get to live it. So it's
hard work. Let's make that the second show. So this show is all about ownership and taking ownership and creating ownership as well. Because if you are actually, as IT, putting a tool in someone's hands that they feel like they own and they want it and they own it, right? You've helped create that ownership. I think that's a very powerful thing. Anyone that's ever been in any leadership position, why do you have employees that steal? Why do you have employees that don't follow the rules? Why do you have employees that could care less about security? Why do you have employees that click on links that you don't care? Because they don't have any ownership in the company. They don't care. Like you said, why do they treat the machines like crap? Mm-hmm. They don't own it. So how do you create ownership? One of the hardest things to do.
I guess I could close with, I got 300 laptops. I maybe replace one every 18 months that's been damaged. I got 375 iPads. I get maybe one or two broken screens a year.
That's amazing.
That's.
I remember breaking a laptop day one.
Well, let's put some on the books. I'd love to come all right, back.
Just thank you so much for being on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. You should have my calendar link, so just jump back on it. This time we're going to talk about rapport.
Okay.
We're going to have the hard conversations, tough conversations. Okay. You can grill me and I'll tell you I'll probably be crying by the end of the episode.
Okay. Well, thank you guys.